Why do brilliant people, engineers, doctors, professors, suddenly sound like they're reciting talking points from a script? Why can two equally educated individuals look at the same event and see completely different realities? We're living through something unprecedented, not just political disagreement, but a fracturing of shared reality itself. People aren't just reaching different conclusions anymore, they're operating in entirely separate universes of fact. This isn't about left versus right, it's about a deeper cognitive crisis affecting how we all think, and it's getting worse. The problem isn't that we disagree, it's that we've forgotten how to think. Your mind operates in four distinct modes, arranged like rungs on a ladder. At the top, scientists embrace uncertainty, actively seeking information that challenges their assumptions. They evaluate all sources with consistent skepticism and readily admit, "I don't know," or "I was wrong." One rung down, sports fans care about truth but suffer from selective vision. They research extensively, yet gravitate toward confirming sources, harsh on disagreeable claims but lenient on agreeable ones. Despite learning less than scientists, they feel paradoxically more confident. Attorneys occupy the third rung, having abandoned truth-seeking entirely. They start with conclusions and work backward, defending preferred beliefs like clients. Contradictory evidence triggers expert debating, dismissing, reframing, or attacking sources. Winning matters more than being right. At the bottom, zealots don't debate. They know. Their beliefs are sacred truths, not testable hypotheses. They automatically trust supporting information and reject challenges without examination. Complexity collapses into black and white distinctions, making the concept of being wrong incomprehensible. Everyone operates on different rungs at different times, but spending more time higher up represents genuine psychological evolution, moving from primitive certainty toward mature wisdom. Individual thinking happens within social environments that either elevates or degrade it. Idea labs function like scientific communities. They welcome challenges, treat disagreements as opportunities rather than threats, and deliberately seek out opposing perspectives. Participants practice steelmanning, articulating opponents' arguments so compellingly that opponents themselves would approve. Ideas are experiments to be tested, not identities to be defended. Echo chambers operate on opposite principles. Certain beliefs become sacred and untouchable. Questioning them isn't intellectual curiosity, it's social transgression. These environments protect themselves through sophisticated mechanisms. Information filtering occurs through partisan media ecosystems that cherry-pick supporting stories while burying contradictory ones, creating entirely separate factual landscapes. Social pressure rewards conformity through likes, shares, and status, while punishing dissent through subtle exclusion or outright excommunication. Information twisting thrives on logical fallacies, presenting anecdotes as trends, confusing correlation with causation, using emotional reasoning to make rational counterarguments seem not just wrong, but evil. Most insidiously, echo chambers create multiple dependencies: social, fear of losing your community; intellectual, atrophied critical thinking muscles; and self-esteem, beliefs become intertwined with identity. These dependencies function like psychological chains. Breaking free requires not just new information, but reconstructing your entire social and intellectual framework, a prospect so daunting that most people never attempt it. When low-rung thinking dominates politics, reality splits into political Disney World, a binary realm of heroes versus villains where nuance evaporates. Imagine pro-dog versus pro-raccoon media covering the same incident. Brave dog protects neighborhood versus innocent wildlife terrorized by aggressive canine. Same facts, opposite universes. These political golems, tribal mental constructs demanding absolute conformity, survive through fear, anger, and moral outrage that override rational analysis. Geographic sorting has intensified this dramatically. In 1976, only 27% of Americans lived in landslide counties, where one party dominated by 20-plus points. By 2020, that figure reached 58%. Most Americans now inhabit politically homogeneous echo chambers. Media fragmentation replaced shared information sources with partisan outlets presenting entirely different realities. Social media algorithms amplify the most emotional content because engagement drives profit. The correlation between presidential and congressional voting reveals the transformation. 0.54 in the 1970s, many split tickets, 0.97 by 2018, cross-party voting nearly extinct. Politics has shifted from a contest of ideas to existential warfare, where 42% of voters in both parties view opponents as downright evil, and nearly 20% occasionally wish them harm. Society's descent from liberal principles follows an illiberal staircase with three distinct steps. Step one is speech control, classic cancel culture. Donald McNeil, a veteran New York Times reporter, was forced to resign for mentioning, not using, a racial slur in an educational context. Alexi McCammond lost her Teen Vogue editor position over decade-old tweets from when she was 17. These aren't isolated incidents, but systematic breakdowns in liberal principles. Step two is forced listening. Mandatory diversity trainings that research shows are often counterproductive, reducing sympathy and reinforcing bias. Universities now require social justice-related classes as specific political ideology. UC Berkeley's life science hiring eliminated over 75% of 893 qualified applicants based solely on diversity statements before considering academic credentials. Step three is forced speaking, requiring active affirmation of specific views. Following George Floyd's murder, silence is violence meant employees had to publicly express allegiance to particular views. The resulting homogeneity is extreme. Elite humanities departments show ratios of 26 to 1, English, 27 to 1, sociology, and 42 to 1, anthropology, favoring progressives. In gender studies, researchers couldn't find a single Republican. This creates a vicious cycle where each golem's illiberal actions justify the others. States have responded with their own restrictive legislation, fighting illiberalism with more illiberalism. The golems both hate and need each other as villains, while their true enemies are principled dissenters within their own tribes. There's reason for cautious optimism. The exhausted majority represents a sleeping giant, and most concerning incidents are recent developments rather than entrenched problems. Countering societal downward spirals requires an upward spiral of awareness and courage. Awareness begins with humility, recognizing we all sometimes operate as attorneys or zealots, identify too strongly with ideas, suffer from confirmation bias, and act tribally. Conduct a self-audit. Where does your primitive mind take control? Which beliefs trigger defensive reactions rather than curious inquiry? What would change your mind? Can you articulate your opponent's strongest arguments in ways they'd recognize? Courage operates on three levels. First, stop saying things you don't believe under social pressure. Second, start expressing authentic thoughts privately with trusted people. Third, go public with your views in appropriate settings. Fear of consequences is usually exaggerated, and you'll earn respect from people who value authenticity, the kind that actually matters. The struggle isn't about political parties or policy positions. It's about the tug of war within each human mind, community, and society. Us versus them thinking is always a delusion. There is no them, just one big us, locked in an eternal battle between our higher and lower selves. The question isn't which tribe will win, but whether we can collectively climb back up the ladder, rebuild our idea labs, and remember that the person across the divide isn't your enemy. They're your confused, frightened, tribal-thinking fellow human, just like you. The future depends not on defeating them, but on both of you remembering how to think again.